accession number 29537, Mr. Albert Arndt, Reel 13. Now, we've just got you back to England, back to Biggin Hill and Dulwich. Now, what was your work like on the pig farm? Because it must have been quite hard starting a new, something, as you said, you could just about eat a pork chop.
But I mean, these people were also fairly new to, you know, the business, the piggery business. But they had contact with other pig breeders already, and I went round with them and saw all the other farmers, and they just told me what it was all about.
Was it difficult or was it pretty simple?
Well, it was not difficult. It was just something new, which I had, of course, never done before. I knew a little bit about farming as a whole, because my uncle in Germany, when I was a child, he had a big farm and I worked there quite often. Yeah, I learned it. I learned it about pigs, breeding pigs, bacon. You know, when the pigs grow up, they have to a certain size to give the right bacon. You have to watch the pigs. You have to mark the pigs. They got notches in their ears, which tells you what they were, how old they were. You had to weigh them to get the right weight of the pigs, because at a certain weight, when you sold the pigs, they were premium regarding bacon. And we had two or three mother pigs called a sow, yes, and we had one male pig which was called a boar. It was a fantastic half a ton animal with these big tucks. But you know, as you go along, you actually learn when you do it. When I didn't know anything, I could get in touch with one of these farmers and either went there or they came and showed me what to do. So I had to look after the pigs. We built actually a proper Scandinavian piggery, you know, a big brick building where we had a great number of pigs in there. So I worked there for 4 years. My wages were £2.10 and 6 pence per week.
And how long were you doing that for?
4 years.
So from 49 to 53?
Yeah.
Or 54?
No, 53.
How were you getting on with the English during this practice? You know, I mean, now
good.
You...
Very, very well. Very well. I was well known, and of course, having been an engineer, it was very useful to other people in repairing, in mending, in servicing, in all that. Oh yes, that was good. That of course supplemented my income a bit as well, and I got myself one or two little jobs on the sideline. You know, my job was finished Saturday afternoon on the pig farm. That was from then on to Sunday night. I had to go back.
So what additional jobs did you do? What part did
to
you
do
know?
With pigs. On the farm next to our farm, it wasn't a pig farm, but somebody rented part of the farm and reared pigs in there. Of course, pigs need feeding, don't they? And he had a swill collection. You know what a swill collection is? Now, that is somebody with a large lorry goes around all restaurants and hotels and collects all the leftovers, the bakeries, bread, cakes, swill, yeah, all edible things. And that was taken to the farm. And I built up a kitchen, a cookhouse, if you like, with some galvanized tanks in, and we had an old boiler which I rigged up, and we heated that boiler up and the steam went into the swill which cooked it, and that was used for feeding the pigs. And I had a job every Saturday before I went to Dulwich. I had to spend maybe an hour and a half to clean the pigs out, and for that I got £2 in my hand.
Now, anything else about, so how did you settle down? I mean, you're living in a caravan. I mean, were you happy enough, or did you miss your family? I mean, you know, you're a bit out on a limb. Because you didn't have all the POWs around you. You know, all your friends, the Thuringians. You made new friends.
Make new friends. Oh, yes. I mean, the family, my friends treated me well. They helped me, I helped them. And gradually we built up the place, you know. And
you built a proper pig house, I see.
Yeah. With help, you know, we engaged some labour. Because you can't build a big place all on your own, you need help. No, it was nice. Had my holidays, I had friends, we went out together, weekends.
And so you were enjoying the sort of lifestyle?
I think I enjoyed it to the extent that things were going well, and I knew I had to do 4 years. I actually, in 1952, I applied actually to the Home Office, saying, you know, which was the truth actually, that perhaps in the long run it wouldn't be right for me. I couldn't perhaps settle down to that kind of life, but being an engineer, would they maybe agree, you know, that I could work? But they refused in 1952. I applied again in 1953, and then they said, yes, you've done what you signed up for. You worked for 4 years in agriculture. You behaved yourself. I had to report to the police station regularly, to the local police station, ever so often. I forget how often it was. And they released me from the condition attached to my stay in England, right? Saying, now you are free. You do what you want to do. You live where you want to live.
So how did you get work? Because that's the first thing. Yeah, I mean, you haven't done it for 6 years.
I had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend knew somebody, and somebody knew somebody else.
So what was your work? What did you do?
And it was actually an engineering firm in Swiss Cottage.
Doing what?
Machinery, manufacturing machinery for the catering trade. We had a wholesale, a retail and a wholesale showroom. We also did, in the workshop itself, subcontract work for people like English Electric, Lucas, CIV, and some shipbuilding firms up north. So, I mean, that was sort of in my line, wasn't it?
So you were doing this from when? You started that in 53?
And I started in December 1953.
And how long did you do that for, roughly?
Until 1976.
So that was your main work.
That
career.
Was my main work, yes.
And
they made me foreman, and I sort of looked after the machinery side. We also had servicing to do, and I had to travel quite a bit across the country to see customers and demonstrate or whatever. Machinery. That was a very, very, it wasn't a terribly well paid job, but it was a job which gave you satisfaction, because I was my own boss in a sense. I did what I thought I should do, as long as by Friday evening everything was done, the boss was happy. And
where were you living?
I was living first in Dulwich, in Dix. Then I met Phyllis, my wife, in 1954. We got engaged the end of 1954, and we were married on the 19th of February
1955. So that all, that again, had you got British citizenship
by
then? That's the last part of it, really.
Yes,
you've got a job, you've got somewhere to live, you've got a wife.
In 1955, I was granted British citizenship. I fulfilled all the criteria required. I had to sign all the documents, and then I had to go to a commission of oath to swear. Yeah, to swear the allegiance to Queen and country, which I did. And then I got my passport.
Now, what about your family? Because that's the bit that is upsetting for you, I'm sure. But what happened to your family? How did they fare in East Germany?
Well, obviously, my brothers were actually quite clever school-wise. They passed their exams. They went into... it was all under the mantle of the post office, but it was like German telecom, if you like. They went into that line. Telephone engineers, I would call them. My mother worked in an office, but then she retired as well when the time came.
So they weren't victimized for what you'd done?
They had people coming after I ran away. They found nothing. There's nothing they could do. There was nothing. They hadn't committed any political crime, as it were, or anything like that.
So it wasn't an enduring problem.
They haven't bothered them. No, they haven't bothered them at all.
Did you ever go back on a holiday, or when did you go back?
The first time I went back with Phyllis and my two boys was in 1967.
So quite late on.
Quite later on, when things had sort of a bit normalised, as it were. You know, in the end of 1949, the German Federal Republic was founded. The three different zones became one. It was a Federal Republic of Germany. The communists didn't like it, so they founded their German Democratic Republic in the end of 1949. So there were two states with their own administration. I learned through people who actually went over to Eastern Germany, to the DDR, it was called then, how the situation was and so. And in 1967, we talked it over, Phyllis and me, and we decided to spend our holiday in East Germany. I had a car then, we went by car. I had to go through all that very, very boring, long-winded rigmarole getting all the paperwork done. And it's very expensive because you have to pay for everything in pounds sterling or dollars. So they granted us the visas for the 2 weeks. We went over there. It was not very nice. The frontier was horrible. They shout at you. They search the car. They take it into bits. They put things in the petrol tank. They look underneath little mirrors. And I didn't react at all. I just said yes and no. I didn't want to get involved in anything. We went practically from then on every 2 years over until the 80s. In the 80s, 1980 actually, which was in February, which was our silver wedding, one of my family was allowed to visit me. Only one. They kept the others back in case, you know. So my older brother of the two, he came over for a couple of weeks to our silver wedding. And of course, through him, I learned quite a lot when he talked me face to face.
And what about your mother? When had she died? You got back in Germany in time to see her?
Oh, yes, we saw her quite often.
She was alive in the 60s.
Yeah, we were inspired.
You think of East Germany during those visits? Did it seem okay or bad? Or?
Drab, very drab. You know, you have to, firstly, you have to pay so much pounds sterling per day, per person, as long as you stay, which was a heck of a lot of money. you had to, the first day you got there, you have to report to the police station. You had to pay something else again, whatever it was, I can't remember. Then they give you your exit visa. If you don't pay, if you don't do what they require, you won't get an exit visa. The difficult part, one difficult part was in the earlier years, the 60s, because I was advised from the British consulate, from the Foreign Office, that even though I am holding British nationality, I'm British, holding the British passport, if they have a rule over there or regulations, for instance, that I have to be, I have to serve conscription to a certain year, they could grab me and keep me. There's nothing they could, the consul could do. So I had to, every time I went over there, I had to report to the consul in Hanover. And every time you went out, I had to report again to make sure that I was out again.
Did you ever have any trouble over there?
Not as such, no, no.
So it's more inconvenience and it was, expense rather than
it was
harassment.
Drab, it was sort of under that dark cloud all the time. See, you couldn't talk to people because you never knew what people were.
Have you been since the Iron Curtain came down? You know, since...
Since it came up, you mean?
Up, yes, that's right, sorry.
Yeah,
since,
I went...
Since I went once
in 1991 was the last time.
That was your last visit, was it?
That was my very last visit.
And had things changed?
Well, it had changed.
It'd only just be...
Just about... You know, the war came down in the end of 89.
So it hadn't had much chance of change.
It was still, you know, I mean, everything was dilapidated. Everything was drab. Nothing was repaired. The roads. And in 1991, you could see here and there where the West German government stepped in, you know, to get sort of economy going, because the economy was absolutely nothing. I mean, in the big, where my brother lived, a place called Eisenach, not far from my hometown, there was that big car factory place where they made the, well, one was called the Trabant, their own cars, and the other car was called the Wartburg. I don't know if you ever seen one, probably not. And you know, when you looked in that factory, it was, I said to Fritz, it's like Charles Dickens. You know, that was so old fashioned, the whole. You see, they used everybody, there was no unemployment in East Germany. But and it was terrible.
Did you ever, from what you're saying, you never regretted your decision then?
Oh, no. Never, ever.
And did you ever see submarines again? I just finally, I think you've been aboard a couple of British Royal Navy submarines, have you? Or you've
visited? Well, during the Navy days, I used to drag my family. They're quite keen on the Navy now. Yeah, we went down to Chatham or Portsmouth on the Navy days.
And how did their submarines compare? Or how did things
change? Oh, they were already much, already bigger in size and a bit more comfortable, a bit more human.
Did it take you back?
Yeah. As soon as you come down, climb down, you smell it. You know, I mean, most of it's diesel, isn't it? You can't hide diesel smell. Oh, yes, it was nice.
Thank you very much.